NPR member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, and I'm Dave Lawrence. So thrilled that you're here with us. Third World are among the longest surviving roots reggae bands in the world, and they're back in the islands right now. In fact, they're wrapping up a tour. They've got a show tonight, Hawaii Island folks, Uncle Robert's Ava Bar in Pahoa, 8 p.m., and then tomorrow they're going to be at the Blue Note Hawaii, and two shows at 7 and 9:30. Founding member, guitarist, songwriter, great storyteller, and our bud, our brethren, Stephen Cat Core. Aloha, Cat.
Thank you very much, man. It's great to be back playing for all the wonderful people in the Hawaiian Islands, you know. You know what, E? I know the Hawaiian people, and I know they're great, and they love reggae music. We're one of their favorite old school boys, and we haven't been there for a while, you know. So I'm hoping that that plays a part in everything, you know.
Yes, this is the first shows since the pandemic. And also, when I think about these shows, there's a little bit of context, don't you have? You have somebody else on the road with you guys. Explain a little bit about what's in store for folks.
Yeah, well, Kumar Faya is our special guest. And right now what has happened is that Kumar has kind of linked up with us as like a person who is in our camp. He has his own career, yes, definitely. But for any time we can go anywhere and we can have him as a support act, we use him because we really believe in him. And what sort of generational difference there is between us and him. And somehow the synergy works. It works really well. So we are very, very proud to have Kumar Faya with us. And he'll be with us tomorrow night. He'll be with us in all the dates.
When was the last time you guys did a Third World gig in Jamaica?
We just did Half Moon's 60th anniversary show in Montego Bay. We also did the Grand Gala, where we got some big award from the Prime Minister.
Wow.
We also did the waterfront for New Year's Eve in Montego Bay. So we've been doing some stuff.
One of those, actually, Kat, kind of funny that you mentioned it, because you have such an interesting background yourself, such a remarkable personal journey. And you mentioned the Prime Minister of Jamaica just a moment ago. Tell me if this Wikipedia entry for your father is accurate, okay? I'm just going to read it to you. It's not that long, and this is what it says. David Hilton Core was a Jamaican lawyer, politician, and statesman who served as Deputy Prime Minister of Jamaica under Michael Manley. Core served in the House of Representatives from 1967 to 1978. He returned to Parliament in 1989 when he was appointed as a senator. He also held key cabinet positions, including Minister of Finance, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade, and Attorney General of Jamaica.
Perfectly true.
All of it.
Perfectly true. Okay. All of it, except that he was also Minister of Legal Affairs. I didn't hear that mentioned, but all of it true.
And Kat's balancing out his rather unusual background is his mother, Rita Angela Innes. She has such a huge connection to what you're doing right now. Thinking about your entire life of music, really, when you think back to your mom studying music and broadcasting, McGill University in Montreal, then Royal College in London, what flashes into your mind as the way that she still, you embody so much of what she brought you?
Well, what flashes in my mind, honestly, is just the extraordinary journey, you know, that I've been on and how lucky I am. And when I look at my mom, her music teacher was Lloyd Webber, father of Andrew Lloyd Webber. When I think of trivia like that, the most important thing is that it's true. That's the scary part of everything. And my mom and dad were both scholars. Mom was what you call an island scholar. She won the one scholarship given to students from the islands. She's from Trinidad. And my dad's a Jamaica scholar. So they're both very, very endowed in terms of their scholastic achievements. Both of them met at McGill, and then both of them got opportunities to go to London, and they took it. They both got scholarships. Mom went to the Royal College, and Dad went to Oxford.
Wow. So, unbelievable.
Yeah. But the funniest thing about it is that Mom and Dad were the coolest people when it came on to me and the whole Rasta thing, and my brother was Rasta too, and they just seemed to take it really in stride, and they really were supportive, and particularly my dad and my mom in terms of me being in a group, you know, first in Inner Circle and then in Third World. They thought it was really cool, and that's kind of extraordinary because people like my parents at that time that was unusual for that sort of thinking.
Right.
You know, very unusual for that sort of thinking. And a lot of my friends faced a lot of backlash from their parents because all of us were going the way of Bob Marley Rasta. He was our big influence. He was our big brother in every way, shape, form, and fashion. And some of my friends got some serious backlash from their parents where I didn't. But it inspired for me to write songs like Uptown Rebel, which tells a story kind of an uptown kid who comes home and there's pork for breakfast, pork for lunch, and pork for dinner, you know, and then he doesn't want to eat it. They call him a sinner and all this kind of. The story is very true, though, by the way. You know, it's a very, very, it's a very true story of my friends, some of my friends, not necessarily me.
Right.
You know, as I say, I grew up in a very open-minded family, very open-minded. So it's a story that I was able to tell because of the platform that I was given by Island Records and by Third World. Give that chance to express that. So I wrote the poem, and the poem became a song.
Were there people like other reggae luminaries who treated you differently because of who your father was?
No, I don't think so. I think they embraced me even more.
Mm.
They found it fascinating, and they kind of really liked it. Bob, I know, really liked it. Even though I would get no end of teasing from him on all sorts of subjects, he really loved the fact that I was so into him and his music. And I used to go over every day when he was rehearsing.
He used to like giving you a hard time and in a fun sort of way. Explain, we're talking about Bob Marley here.
Bob knew who I was from Inner Circle. From before I went to Star Third World, Bob knew me. We used to back up. Bob has known me from I was 14.
Right.
Right up until the day when he passed away. Bob knew everything was going on, and he supported us all the way 100%, you know, but he would tease us sometimes, you know, like one time he said to me, hey, why don't we get together and fake a kidnapping of you? Let's act like you got kidnapped and make some money, you know, and he said, you know what I mean, and everybody was laughing, you know, but the way Bob gave the joke, I didn't know whether he was serious or whether he was joking, you know, he had that spirit about him, you know, so that's just kind of like one example, you know. But there were many times when he cracked only for jokes. I mean, he's always good to me, you know.
At 14, he already knew, like, as soon as you walk in, ah, this kid's dad is somebody famous.
Yeah, man, he knew the whole story. Jamaica is not that big, you know, brethren.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Jamaica is small.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in Kingston know that Cat was David Coe's son.
Right.
And plus, Michael Manley was super popular at the time amongst the ghetto people, amongst sure. the poor. My dad happened to be in the right room, as it was.
Right, with the right group of folks, too. Think of those.
Right.
When you say room, that is so funny. And you must have gotten to attend some unusual events, maybe with visiting dignitaries, maybe celebrities, but something that perhaps you don't often recall. Maybe people don't ask you about that.
Oh, certainly. I played for Pavarotti at the Prime Minister's house. I did the welcome for Julius K. Nyerere. I did also the Ghanaian president. I forget his name now.
You had Pavarotti to explain that one.
Yeah, Pavarotti came to Jamaica to perform, and there was a big cocktail party for him. I was invited to come play the cello, and I went and played Rastaman Chant, Fly Away Home.
Wow.
For him. Yeah.
What?
And that was so cool. I sat there talking to him for the longest while because he was saying, boy, he's been all around the world with orchestras, all over the world. He's never seen a cello player that looked or sounded like me. So I said, well, you know, there's always a time, uncle. There's a time for everything.
So. I love that. I love that so much. I'm giving you huge hugs, huge high fives. Thank you so much for sharing the amazing stories, your unusual life, Third World, Stephen Cat Core, and tonight there in Pahoa, and then tomorrow for a couple shows in Honolulu at the Blue Note Hawaii, and we're really, really looking forward to it. Thank you so much, my brother, for being on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much, man.
I look forward to seeing you.
I look forward to seeing you, too, for real.
Stay safe, brother.
All right, bless.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And say, Rastafari, you wouldn't take people start to cry. But next day I be looking some Ital cooking. Everyone was looking, yeah. They don't like my style, but they love the seasoning. I said bubble piano man.